Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
I'm going to share about impact again, and I was challenged last night as I prepared. God was really challenging me, not in a negative way, but it was a challenge to, as I read different stories, I thought, Lord, where's that in me? Where's that passion? And it was interesting. As I was laying in bed, he spoke to me both last night and this morning that it's so easy to let what you do cloud the love. So let me explain it this way. It's like a painter that loves to paint and just loves to paint. They love to paint, and then they go into business to do their art, but then the business can get so difficult, right, that it clouds the love of painting, right? Isn't that true with relationships? We could be married for so long that we could forget. And he was challenging me, not quite in the words of a lens change, but just to rethink that, to make sure that the difficulties sometimes that I would experience in the business side of ministry or the people side that can be difficult, not to get that messed up or cloudy with the love that I have for him. Okay? It's a lens change, because the two really are separate, although they go together. My love for him always needs to stay first and foremost. Amen. 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 Lord, we thank you for the offering. Lord, we thank you that we get to take a small percentage. It's amazing, right? He asked for 10, we keep 90. That's a good deal. When you think about it, he could ask for it all. He's like, hey, just give me 10 to do the kingdom work, and I'll watch what I do with 10%. I think when he was giving words to Shane and Brandy, I always get it mixed up, because Brain and Shandy works too. He was thinking, watch what I'm going to do with the anointing that I put on their life for business. And so, you know, a year ago, you couldn't imagine being here through relationships and mentoring, and it's amazing. So we say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good job, Brain and Shandy. I'm doing that with other names now. I'm doing Heather and Len. No, Len and Leather and Hen. That's what I'm doing. Leather and Hen. We'll see who's next. Well, hey, I'm going to continue. This is the last week for Impact. But before I do that, I want to let you know, we had the privilege of last week being gone. We were away as a family. And it was such a privilege to have all three boys together, because that is a rare thing, to have all three boys with my mom and dad and spend time together. And because of that, we had an opportunity to celebrate my dad's birthday. It's not yet. It's in January. Now, he would be too humble to show you a picture like this, but I'm not. And so if you could put up a picture. Yep. That was great. You know, every restaurant seems to do their own thing. We're actually in Mexico. It's hard to see, but there's the two waiters, the Mexican waiters, that they came out with this little thing, and he looked like Mickey Mouse. And like I said, he would be way too humble to ever show you a picture like that, but I think it needed to be seen. And so I was thankful that Pastor Rod and Stephen held down the fort. I hear Pastor Claude got out of town too, so not everybody did, thankfully. And I hear, Stephen, you rocked it. I listened to it last night. It was such a good message. Anybody remember what it was about? The seed, right? Remember, it was about the seed. So we want to finish up our Impact series, although we're not going to stop with Impact. Oh, yeah, you could take it off now. It might ruin the message, so. Oh, there was an impact with that look, so. So we've been talking about Impact. And I love the fact that as I've listened, you know, I kicked it off, and I kicked it off with your, what is your metron? What is your sphere of influence? Where do you have influence in life? And then the next week I talked about nation, and what is your nation? And we try to move the concept of nation from a nation like Canada or the United States to what is your ethnicity? What is the people group around you? What is the thing that is on your heart and beats on your heart? And I love that. And then Pastor Rod talked about we need a personal impact before we can ever give an impact out there, right? So we listened to Krista's impact today of how God went after her and even covered her ears in a message that might be, and I think that's really powerful, that we need to remember that when we're going after people and inviting them to church, sometimes we'll think, oh my gosh, what are they going to think if somebody prophesies or if somebody falls down? Or what are we going to think? You know what? Krista, that story taught me a long time ago that God will cover what he needs to cover. So often people come in and what we think is weird, they think is interesting. If nothing else, they go, actually, I thought that was kind of interesting and exciting. What we think is like, man, this is exuberant worship. They're like, finally, it's great to see some excitement in church. So we have to learn not to worry about what our job is to invite, right? Our job is to fish. It's the fish's job to bite, and God's going to do that, right? You guys with me? Okay, so then Stephen came in. So that was Pastor Rod about impact, personal impact, before we have, go out with impact. You can't give what you don't have. And then Stephen really brought a great message, a very practical message about seed. And I love what he brought, because sometimes all three of those messages can be overwhelming to go, where do I start? And he gave some very practical ways of how to start. I love the story you shared about the soccer ball. You know, you want to have this grandiose. And I think because we live so close to America, and it, you know, it's part of both Canadian, American, probably European too, we want to do big things. You ever notice if an American does something, they don't even start small. It's go big or bust. And, you know, that's a great thing to have great vision, but sometimes it could be a little dangerous, and we've seen people try that. And, I remember driving somewhere and seeing the remnants of a once-tried amusement park. You know, somebody tried to go big too quick, and it flopped, right? That can happen. So his message, and I loved about the soccer, because this gentleman had an idea of wanting to do soccer leagues and different things, and you can't start there if you don't have the money, the manpower, the people. So he bought a soccer ball, went and played soccer in the park. And then he met another man. Is that what it was? And, you know, sometimes we just have to have that seed. And next week we have an opportunity with a seed. Maybe you have a seed for missions. Man, I want to do mission work one day. Or I love children. Or man, I'd love to birth an orphanage one day. Well, next week you have a chance to sow a seed. That could be the simple start of it. I think of, I was talking with Andrew the other day, and I was reminded of, man, if you would have asked me what I was going to do when I was about 25 years old, I would have told you for sure that right now I would own a camp and I'd be running a camp. Every time I drove on the property of a camp, it's like my hairs would stick up, the vision would come alive. And it's interesting that there was a season for that, and I don't always understand where it's going to go, but I know I was planting seeds in that season for something greater. I still wonder if I'm going to own a camp one day. I don't understand it, but it's part of the journey. And so that was a seed in my life, and sowing into kids was a seed, amen? So I want to do something really practical today. It's interesting, when we did our Impact Conference, I was talking with Shelly. I don't think you would mind me using your name. I just did. Here, let me ask in private. Shelly, do you mind if I use your name? Yes, too late. No, but it was interesting because we were talking about impact, and because we mentioned about going out for lunch and impacting the community, right away she got the idea, this is going to be evangelistic, solely like the type of evangelism where you go on the street. And for a lot of people, that could be like, whoa, that's scary, I'm not. And then she came to the conference, and she would say that's one of the best conferences. It was not that. So a lot of times we could get, like, this evangelism thing is so big and so huge and so intimidating that we just step back. I hope this month we've been kind of deflating that fear, because I am learning that some of the simplest things can have some of the greatest harvests. Come on, isn't that right? Well, if you don't believe it, you're going to see it today. So I was mentioning about going on our trip. One of the things that I loved about our trip is that we left an incredible snowfall. I was so thankful. We actually left early to get up to Toronto so we could fly out, because it was a pretty big snowfall. And I was thinking about that, how, you know, none of us, I don't know about you, it felt like we went from nothing to winter immediately. And it's crazy. And so in our, we actually, our bedroom's in the basement, and so it can get really cold. Anybody else love to snuggle in big comforters, tuck it right up to your neck, and not get out of bed? Raise your hand. Men can be included. Thank you. How many would agree? Or how many have ever had the experience where you're in bed and you're all tucked in and you got all nice and toasty warm, and then you open your eyes and you're like, there's a light on. Dang. Hey, Krista. There's a light on. And then, you know, she doesn't snore, but all of a sudden you just don't want to get out of bed. You're like, how can I make this light? So now we have our phones. Hey, kids. Yeah, you want to go shut off the light? Of course, they never respond either. I remember when our kids were growing up, you know, you'd hear a child, Daddy, and you're all warm and snuggly. Hey, Krista, they're calling for you. She'd be like, no, they're not. They're calling for you. Ugh. There's something about that comfort that we love, right? The warmth that we love. Did you know in life that we have our comfort zone? How many want to admit you have a comfort zone? Everyone does. We have our comfort zone. We have our comfort friends. Not comfort as in we look to them for comfort. That's part of it. But how many know when you walk into a big facility like this, you scan to see who to talk to? And where do you go to? Comfort friends. It's natural. It's nature. You know, you go to, you go to a wedding and they post the seats where you're sitting. And everybody's like, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. Oh, yes, we know people. Because unless you're like a super I personality, it's intimidating to go and sit at a table with strangers. It's normal. But we have a comfort zone. We love our comfort zone. And little did you know that you have been breaking out of your comfort zone? How many say, yes, I know, I've been breaking out of my comfort zone? Every time, like today, when I say, hey, why don't you cross the aisle? How many know you're breaking out of your comfort zone? How many hated me for that when we first started it? A few hands, a few brave people, thank you. Hates a strong word, strongly dislike? So how many strongly disliked me during that? Thank you. A few more hands. Oh, he's standing up. Wow. Thank you for being so vocal. It's true. And why do you think I always do it when I'm on the platform? I can't move. But you know what the point was? You're like, hey. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I have to stretch myself too, because it is so easy for me. Okay, let's be real, right? So Pastor Rod will get up here. I'll pick on Pastor Rod now. And he'll be like, all right, I want everybody to find somebody to give an encouraging word to. And you immediately go, who do I know? Who do I know? Who do I know? Because it can be easy to give an encouraging word to someone you know, right? We turn to our wife, spouse, neighbor, somebody we really know. But we're trying to stretch ourselves to move beyond that. Now, there is an incredible team that we have that stretch themselves every time they go out. Well, actually, we have two teams. We have a Lazarus team that goes out in Windsor. We also have Ginger that has a team, and they go out. And they just love stretching themselves and ministering to people. I love it. But the reality also is that not all of us will ever or maybe often get out there. And there's another type of evangelism that we can do. And we've been talking about being a light in your office, wherever it is. But I want to even simplify it even more. Because it's been happening. It happened on Sunday. It happens all the time. So I'm also going to give you some testimonies of people that from the extreme to the simple. So, Ginger, does yours have to do with on the streets? Come on up. I want you to share first. Ginger's radical. Ginger, we love you. We love your heart for people. That's a moment of celebration. Ginger, we love you. Because she really, and Ginger's does it with fear and trepidation. It's not like she's just crazy to get out there. It's not easy all the time, but she continues to go out. And so I wanted her to share a testimony.
So I'll share a testimony from not too far back. It was basically the end of our time that the teams were meeting up. And so Dave and I, we had about 10 more minutes. We just got a message from the other team that we were going to meet them at the car. So we're like, okay, just walking back to the car, randomly just asking people, hey, do you need prayer? And we came across this one guy, and he had a cane, but we didn't even ask for healing. We just said, hey, do you need prayer? And he at those words, he almost broke down. He was in his mid-50s, I'd say, And he just stood there and he said, I've been battling cancer for 7 years. And he said, yes, I would like prayer. And he was just worn and tired from the fight for so many years. So we were just able to bring the presence of God to him and just pray for strength for him and for healing for him and refreshing to him. And he was tired. He said, I'm just going to Shoppers Drug Mart right now to get my prescriptions. And, you know, as we're standing there and we're praying for some time, we took some time with him. We happened to be in the handicapped parking lot, parking spot at No Frills. And this was a total God setup. We didn't even see a lady get in her car, but she walked past us and she said, can I just get in my car? And we're like, okay. And then as she was still sitting there, we were continuing with this guy. And she said, I overcame prayer and it was through prayer. Or I overcame cancer and it was through prayer. And we're just like, so she heard our conversation with this man and heard us praying with him. And it was just such a God setup. It was just beautiful. And we just prayed for that man. So that was just a really great encounter of not even really expecting it, just the end of the day. Just, hey, do you need prayer? And on that note, our next outreach, we're going to go downtown into the city on December 23rd. Because if any of you have ever spent Christmas alone, or it's a hard time for people, so we're going to go downtown and get some Timmy's containers with coffee and just go talk to people a couple days before Christmas. Maybe give them some Timmy's cards or little chocolates or something. So it's just a nice time to go and encourage people. And if anyone's interested in doing that, just connect with me and. Yeah, we'll go share some love of Christ with people who need it.
And that's so good. Now, let me tie in Stephen's words. So last week, he was talking about the seed. So if you're here and you're like, man, I want to do mission work, okay? And you keep thinking about what nation to go to, and it's like, you got the big picture. Stephen's encouraging us to go, there's a seed. Because that's mission work they're going to do. They're going to go on the streets and give out, in a very simple way, coffee and bless people. So start there. For some of you, if it's like, man, that doesn't line up with my schedule, but I do want to do it, so I'm going to sow a seed into that. You know, I can give Timmy cards. I can do whatever. So you see how sometimes we get caught. And I'll be honest with you. I can get caught in the big picture. I'm a big picture thinker. And sometimes it can get so overwhelming that you get stuck. Instead of going, where can I start? So anybody want to do mission trips down the road? You're like, man, I'd love to do missions. Okay, there you go. Opportunity to just go on the streets. And maybe for you, healing's really difficult to go do that. But this is handing out coffee. You can do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can do it. It's awesome. I love the testimony. I remember you telling me that. And I thought that's such a cool story because somebody else jumped in on the testimony and gave this gentleman, like, we talk about the power of a testimony. Well, she gave the power to this gentleman. She wasn't even supposed to be in the equation. See how God works things out? It's awesome. How many steps do you think you take a day? Not enough. One went too many, the other went not enough. So let's go in between. How many know? Do you know how many average steps you take in a day? 7,200. You watching your phone? He's a numbers guy. The average person takes up to 10,000 steps a day. It's pretty crazy. Now, not always. Everybody's going to pull out their phones now. Do I really take 10? But they have estimated that the average person takes 10,000 steps a day. You know what that equates to? Anybody interested? You're like, why does that have anything to do with what you're talking about? Just hold on. I lost my note. That equates to, hold on. Are you ready? Do you feel it? It adds up to 185,000 kilometers in a lifetime. If you live to an average age between 70 and 75, 185,000 1,000 kilometers in a lifetime. You know how many times you'd go around the earth? 4.5. Yep. I had to look it up. I saw this stat. I'm like, I don't know if I believe this. I did all the calculations. I kid you not, because I didn't believe it. You would walk around in a lifetime the earth 4.5 times. Wow. Don't you feel even more fit than you did when you came in? I tell you, you're tired, but you feel more fit. 10,000 steps a day. Where am I going with this? I think, and this is the crux of my message, I think as a church, if we would learn to value our 10,000 steps in a day, ask Holy Spirit every day to guide us into whatever He wants, and we would have our eyes open to look across the room, and the willingness and courage to walk across the room, we could change the world. Because sometimes we keep thinking big picture, big events. And the more stories I hear, and even last night I began to text people, because the more stories I hear, it seems like the people that are often sitting in the churches that are making the difference are people that had somebody walk across a room. So many times the stories are about people that walk across the room to meet a need. I'm going to give you a story. I was reading a whole bunch of evangelistic stories. I thought this one was really cool. I was talking about our comfort zone, and this gentleman was at a Southern State, a conference. He never said what it was about. He was a pastor, and he's at this conference, and he's sitting at a table. So he's down south, and there's this gentleman at this conference, and he's looks very Muslim-like. He's African-American, and just whatever was about him looked very Muslim-like. And as they're going through the seminar, this African-American gentleman looks at the pastor, and he goes across the table. He goes, I'll say it, but he says, I love your books. Because he's a writer, this pastor. And the pastor's like, he's wondering, who's he talking to? He's like, I love your books. Because he's got a whole bunch of books. And he's like, that is so interesting. So later on, of course, now he's intrigued. He walks up to him after, and he said, everybody leaves the auditorium, and he's there. And he's like, so, you know, tell me what's going on. He's like, oh, let me tell you a story. He says, I bet you think I'm a Muslim. He's like, I do. He's like, well, let me tell you a story. He said, I'm a businessman, and I used to go into all these business meetings. And he says, I'm in a Southern state. He says, I'm a black man in a Southern state, and I'm also a Muslim. At the time, he said, I'd walk into these meetings, and he said, I got used to nobody talking with me. It just became kind of normal. He knew how to work the room to the point that he needed to. He kind of sat in dark corners, literally, and that's how he became used to doing these conferences. And he said, one day there's this gentleman, he says, I'm doing my thing, and I'm, you know, not trying to talk with anyone because it never goes well. And he says, I see this gentleman talking with his comfort zone group, right? And as the gentleman's talking, he looks over and he sees me, and he kind of says something to his friends, and he walks across the room to me. And he begins to strike up a conversation, and they just talk about business because they're there for a business meeting, and they're talking business and different things. And I can't remember how it was triggered. Oh, I think he said, hey, you look like you're a Muslim. He says, yes, I'm a Muslim. He says, man, I have no idea about your faith. Would you ever want to go out for coffee? We could talk about it. And the guy right away said, well, what are you? He says, well, I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Christian, but I really don't know anything about yours. So why don't we go out for coffee? So they set up a coffee date. And this gentleman told the story to the pastor about how they would go out for coffee and they would simply have conversations. But in the midst of the conversations, he would ask the Christian a question. And the gentleman would have just an answer. He never forced anything until one day the Muslim went, you know, you've been so honoring of me. Why don't you tell me about your faith? He grew up in a church, this Muslim. He was so criticized and prejudiced and all that, he left the church in anger. So he wanted to hear this gentleman. He said he gave such a beautiful response of how God touched his life and how, you know, so many things had happened. And the man just sat there amazed. Didn't give his heart to the Lord at that moment. So fast forward, I don't know how long, but one day this Muslim man in his house said, I felt something. I remembered his story, so I got on my knees and I dedicated my life to Christ. Called the gentleman. He was excited. He said, what do I do now? He says, I got a church. You want you? I don't know if it was his church, but come to this church. So fast forward many years, this ex-Muslim who is now a Christian is now in this church and he gets into leadership. So he has to start reading these books. And that's why he's reading this pastor's books. So he's at a conference going, I love your books. But you know how it happened? Because somebody crossed the room. Again, we think big moments, and it was simply somebody that went, that man's alone, and I think I could be at least in this moment, a moment of friendship, a source of friendship, because it's got to be, right? Isn't it rough to be in a room all by yourself? Anybody else feel that? And isn't it great when somebody else takes the time to walk over and say hello? One of the reasons why we asked you to start crossing aisles is because when guests come in, there's nothing worse than being the one that sits there and doesn't know anyone. And then when we say, here's the thing, church, when I say, hey, why don't you go say hello to the guests? You got to go say hello to the guests because now I've made it even more awkward. So you got to help me with this, right? I kind of watch from up here. I'm like, dear Jesus, please somebody go. Because we want people to feel welcome. But did you know that walking across the room, you could be the one that is the answer to their prayers? How could I be? That's your job. You're the pastor. No, actually, chances are you probably have more in common with them than I do because that's why God's leading you. Because when you look and you see somebody and you feel that nudge, it doesn't look like that, but it's internal. That Holy Spirit, why don't you go talk? It's most likely because you have a connection with that person. Something that you don't even realize. Isn't that awesome? It's as simple as walking across the room. But the first step is we got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to get out of our comfort zone, our comfy blanket circle. The light's on. I don't want to get up. Somebody just came in that's new. I don't want to get up. Went out with Ryan Bondi. Want to bless you, Ryan. We went out for breakfast just before we left. I was so blessed that before I had a chance to do it, waitress comes up. Hey, can we pray for you for anything? Well done, Ryan. You know what I love? That I'm seeing that we talk about it's happening. Turn to your neighbor and say, well done. Well done. Well done. Dana and Jason, why don't you guys come on up? I don't know if it's going to be both of you or one of you. See, Dana crossed the room the other day. I think she's been crossing the aisle for a while. Crossing the aisle for a while. I don't know how long she's been asking your dad, but also the friends, but...
No, the friend, my friend, I was just in the car the other day. I don't really have anywhere to go to sit on my lunch right now, so I go and sit in the car, and I just turn on worship music sometimes, or I scroll through my phone, and I haven't spoken to her in over a year, maybe a year and a half. And a picture of her popped up on my Instagram, and I was like, I just felt compelled to ask her if she was busy on Friday night, because I decided that I was going to becoming with my father. And she wrote back, and she said, well, what is it about? So I just took a picture of the flyer, and I sent it to her, and she said, I'd love to come. So little did I know, she went to the prophetic room, and she came back and she was talking to me and she said, you'll never guess. They were so spot on with everything. So we haven't spoken in a year, but I'm doing tomorrow. So Saturday, yesterday, she was doing her last testing for certification to apply for policing. And she passed. Yay. Yeah. Because I messaged her to see how it went. And so she was just so grateful to have been here, and he was speaking to her for sure. But I had also asked my father to come. I get emotional if I'm talking about this, so I'm sorry. But my dad's battled with MS for just over 16 years, and it's been rough to see him, especially someone you view as the strength of your household and your hero, suffer like that. So I've asked him to come a few times, and it's something that I just knew one day if I kept asking, he would say yes. So he said yes on Thursday to come. And so we went to go receive some healing, and I can't tell you what happened that night. There were so many things that were affirmations that this is it. This was your healing. You received it tonight. You're gonna, the myelin in his body is going to be restored 100%. And my dad would often use the word progressive because his MS has been progressive, but they used the word that he was going to have progressive healing. And I said, yes, I know that you are. And he was talking when we were sitting kind of in a circle, and he said, my body feels really at peace. And I said, I'm glad. I could see his legs weren't shaking like they normally do. And he was sitting, thank you. he was sitting and his legs weren't shaking, and he just looked so peaceful. And he started talking about my grandmother, who I had mentioned in a testimony before, that I think that she kind of led me here. I know the Lord did too, but she's been a powerful influence in our family through our faith too, her faith. And she'd always prayed for my dad. And I remember right before she passed away, we were in the hospital, and there was a priest that was sitting with us because she was the president of the Catholic Women's League in Leamington. And Claude, you came, and you, my dad was talking about his mom, and you came over and you gave a blanket to him. And it was made through prayer for healing by women from the CAWL. And it was the priest at that church right now was the one who sat with my dad and my grandma and I before she passed away. And I know that she sent that and said, listen, I was praying for you here, but I'm here now. And I'm closer, and I'm praying for your father. I'm praying for you, my son. And it was just so many affirmations that night. And I'm so grateful that you had this. Thank you so much. That was just it.
Yeah, that's just it. Come on. Isn't that amazing? When I was done worship, I was just kind of walking around. I did my set, and then Shane got up. And I don't know what you would normally do, Dana, but what caught my eye is that you just stood up and you put your hand on your dad and you began to worship. In that moment, I'm thinking, she crossed the room. Because when that's difficult to do, you're crossing the room. Isn't that? It's just every time we take that step of faith, I want you to think, okay, I'm crossing the room. We could call it cross the chicken line, but I was so blessed, and that's when I walked over, because I knew God in heaven was like, I'm so proud of my daughter right now. I'm so proud of my daughter. Because it's not easy when it's family, right? Family can be some of the hardest people to minister to because they're family. And it's our reputation, and it's what they think. It's all that. And so I say, well done. Well done, Dana. Well done. Now, I just want to take a second. I can't put all the pieces together because not everybody's here, but as I began to unfold these things, I thought, this is so amazing. So, Connie, would you come on up for a second? And Claude's going to tell the story. So, Claude, can you come up for a second? Because there was a day when Connie crossed the room a few times, but she crossed the room into Claude's life.
Yeah. Connie was a... This is back in 82, I think, roughly. Connie was a patient of mine. I was 29 years old. And what are you laughing at? You can't believe I was 29. I'm not talking anymore. Anyway, I was 29, and Connie came in the office, and she needed a couple things done. And I said, I'll take 3 or 4 appointments. Well, Connie came back every week to me, it seemed like 6 months. It seemed like a long time. And every time I see Connie's name, I said, oh, Lord. I would really say, oh, Lord. And I wasn't born again, but I'd say, oh, Lord. When's this going to stop? Like, how come this isn't going right? And Connie came in this day, and she sat down, and I said, Connie, I don't know what's wrong with this, but this isn't working. And Connie said to me, she said, well, the Lord's told me about 6 months ago to speak to you. And she said, I haven't spoken to you because I was just a little reticent. I said, if it's going to make this go faster, you better speak to me and right now. And so Connie said, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Now, the details that I remember are different than Connie's, obviously, like Krista said, because I remember it a certain way. Connie will remember it a certain way. But what I heard is, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And I took a long time to, like 3 seconds, I said, no. I said, he's probably my Savior, but he's not my Lord because I make my own decisions. And so she said, he needs to be. And I said, you're right. And I had been thinking about this for about a year. I'd be at the church and I'd be in a service like this. And I'd be thinking, Lord, there's got to be more than just coming, standing, sitting, kneeling. I said, but I want to know you more. And so Connie said, well, he could be your Lord and Savior. And I said, great, what do I do? And she said, well, you just pray this prayer. And I said, good, I'm going to go get myself cleaned up and I'll come back. And she said, doesn't work like that. But I expected at that point Connie to say, you don't need cleaning up. I know you. You're just a nice guy. You never killed anybody. Because that's what everybody says. And she said, it doesn't work that way. She said, you come to him and he cleans you up. And I thought, cleans me up from what? Really? And it was 2 years after I got saved before I realized I needed cleaning up. However, Connie then prayed with me. When she left the room, I said, okay, Lord, my house is yours. My kids are yours. Everything I have is yours. Whatever this looks like, I'm going to be an on-fire Catholic from here on in. And I was. And I'm on fire still. And I'm Catholic because I believe that everybody can come in, because Catholic means to bring them all in. So, amen. Thank you, Connie.
You're welcome. Thank the Lord. That's just a sign of, you don't know who you're impacting when you speak to someone. We need to believe that we are impacting someone who will impact, who will impact, who will impact. So because that happened to Claude in the dental chair, he has used the dental chair as his mission field and has brought many, many Christian, many people to the Lord through, while they're patients, you know, when they can't talk and he's ministering to them, and it's such a wonderful opportunity. But I remember Bill Wilson, I don't know if any of you heard of him, who had the ministry in New York City to 10,000 kids a week that lived in slums where police don't even go. Kids that had cigarette burn marks on their bodies from their parents. He had just had a passion for these kids because he was one of those kids. And he said, it's not so much what you do in life, but what you set in motion. And so I believe that that set something in motion, and he has set a multitude of people in motion. And also, I don't know if any of you know Richard Wurmbrand. He was in the concentration camps in Romania, World War II, underground for 14 years. He was a Messianic Jewish pastor. The fellow who led him to the Lord, this was the cry of his life for years, Lord, let me impact someone who will impact a multitude. And that man has impacted multitudes. So that's the cry of my heart, the cry for all of us, that our lives are so significant and we don't even know who we are. I love it. Pastor Gary's been saying that over and over again. We don't know who we are. The Most High God, the creator of the universe, who is at this moment making galaxies, lives inside of us. Poof. And his son, who died for us and made us new, wants us to bring that newness to other people. Come on, folks. You are something great. Just let it go out. When you're walking down the street, Lord, boom, I'm here. Light, let it happen. You are amazing. Bring them all in.
Stay here for 1 second. Okay. Isn't that awesome? And it set me up perfectly. So, how can we do this? Connie, do you want to stand in for me for a second? Connie, come on up. Yeah, Connie's already here. So, just stand here for me. And Dana and Jason, come on back for a second. And Elaine, if you wouldn't mind standing maybe right here. Oh, no, we'll put you on the steps. So Connie's going to stand in for Abigail and Max because they're still gone, I believe, right? Jason, Dana, come on in and just maybe stand right here. You know, you talk about multitudes. So Connie crossed the room and Claude as a result, his salvation. Abigail and Max, who Connie's standing in for, they're obviously children, but that influence of Christianity affected their lives. And Abby meets Max, and Max, they marry. And it's Max who begins to bug Dana, crosses the room, several times and kept asking you to come to church. But what I love about it is there's a grandma who's been praying for you, talking to you, sowing seeds into your life for years. And Max is like that last little piece to invite. But I don't think Max led you to the Lord. He led you to the church. And I remember the Sunday that you guys came up for salvation and just really dedicated your life. But isn't that amazing that you've got one that crosses the room, you got a daughter that gets saved who marries Max. Max asks these people, like, look at the chain. Look at the chain. Now watch this. If Pastor Claude has had an influence in your salvation in any way, please stand. I was wondering how many would stand, because whether it's in a dentist chair, whether it's, I don't know if it's, I was thinking of Mo and Sharon, the kids, Richard. I remember the CD that you got, Michael. I don't know how it happened, but it was a CD. Think of all things. Your voice on a CD touched Michael's life. What was that? Dulcet, whatever that means. But look at all this. Look at, because one woman crossed the aisle. That's your, like, yeah. So, but here's the cool thing. So just stay standing for another minute. Because Claude was willing to do different things and sow seeds, but she gets the fruit of this as well because she crossed the aisle. And you don't know, and that's what Connie was saying, you don't know when you cross the aisle what's going to, generations from now. There could be a Billy Graham in there, but it really doesn't matter because you just need to cross the aisle for the one. And Abigail and Max crossed the aisle several times, and Connie had to cross the aisle several times. Abigail didn't have a chance because she was your daughter. You know, Andrea's standing. But the point is, you may have to do it once because you're the last one in the row. You're the domino. It all falls. But you might be the beginning one, and you got to just sow and sow and so for 6 months. But aren't we thankful that Connie crossed the aisle? Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you.
We've heard a lot about pyramid systems, but it really works in church. It works in the kingdom. You start something and you sow in, and they sow in, and first thing you know, you got a huge pyramid and you get a reward for all of them.
You know what? Actually, she's not wrong whatsoever. I was involved with the business for a while. I still do a little bit, but I talked about it here and there. And I was always amazed that every time I listened, I thought, man, this is evangelism techniques. I thought it's a shame that most will be willing to do it for a check, but we're not willing to do it for salvation. Because it was all about meeting people and listening to their needs. Just being a listening ear. Now, in that sense, it's to find out how can my product help you, but how can our Savior, like, if we don't think that our Savior is a solution for people, meaning first and foremost salvation, but all the other beautiful things that come with it, then we need to check our own salvation. And now we go through tough times and moments, I agree, but man, behind it all, when we worship, there should be this, my God's amazing. That's why today, he's the way maker, he's the peacemaker, he's the lover, he's amazing. And so there should be, and that's why honestly last night I'm like, Lord, why is that not as passionate right now in me? And that's when he began to share. Sometimes for me, the business side can muddy the relationship side, and I needed to just keep my heart in the relationship side. Because there's always going to be those things that muddy the water, right? Got to keep focused. I'm going to have one more come up and share. Because I've been watching her and she's been talking to me. Donna, come on up for a second. Because we've watched Donna grow over the last, how many years, Donna, have you been here? 12 years. And she's been walking across the aisle lately, just touching and loving on people. And I love the story that it's not always going to be perfect and they're not always going to run through the door on Sunday. But you keep crossing the aisle.
Well, this story is a little different. And I want to say something about Stephen's class this morning. He played a song that was so profound. There was a line in it that said, a simple act of obedience can change history. And wow, I've been seeing God doing some of that in my life lately and coming full circle and doing something out of what God has impacted in my life. About 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call from my daughter, and she was very distraught. And she was in a situation where someone that she had highly esteemed had a problem and caused a lot of devastation in her life and other people's lives. And she wanted me to pray for her. And she, over the next 2 weeks, I spent a lot of time with her and with other people even that God had reconnected me with, because I had been in that situation before. And it was beautiful in that the same person that had caused the situation now had caused me a lot of pain and heartache 12 years ago and before. And when I came here to Antioch, I had a lot of healing to do, and God had to impact my life a lot. And that simple act of obedience came in when I wouldn't allow offense or unforgiveness to stay in my heart. And so over time, God healed me to the point where 10 years later, 12 years later, when my own family members needed it, I was able to minister in their lives. And it was like it came full circle. And so I just want to glorify God today, because during that time, I didn't, I could have had a lot of bitterness, and I could have cut off a lot of relationships, but God worked in my heart in such a way that I couldn't do that. And so when the opportunity came, when healing needed to come for the other people, I had those connections there. And it was beautiful to see how God did that. And, you know, as Christians, we all have the same emotions that other people have. We have that kind of pain too. But God's called us to a higher calling to forgive and to not hold on to offense. And the enemy, that's one of his main tools, to try and keep us bound. If he can keep us in offense or unforgiveness, he can keep us ineffective. And so when we walk into what he wants us to do, then we're bound. We can't do what God wants us to do. So it's so cool when God can have our heart and his way in our lives, and we can walk across the aisle and to be his hands and feet, because we've allowed him to do that impact in our lives.
Isn't that good? I just want to share, because I've been watching this happen, and it's another way to walk across the aisle, because somebody needed help and healing. 12 years, it comes back around. Isn't that amazing? I want to finish up with probably one or two stories just real quick. Just as I was reading all these testimonies, I thought, man, these are such cool stories, and we don't know often how, like a Connie, when you're just being obedient, how it's going to end, that you'd be one day in a church, you know? Who knew that this would all unfold? It's amazing. And so I was reading the story of another pastor who belonged to a very large church, and his son, I believe, it was a son, Todd, was grade six at this point and in soccer. And so he would go every week to watch his son play. And he just loved the coach. Coach's name was Brian. I don't know how old he was. He was a businessman, so probably early 20s. And he said, this guy just gave it his all as a coach and was so thankful. But he said, often I would, like we were saying, I would often just after the game, I would talk with the people that go to my church. I'd be in what I was saying, a comfort zone. And he said, one day I felt Holy Spirit say, why don't you go help them clean up the pylons? And it's funny, as pastors, I can relate, because he's like, oh, man. You know, we could get so comfortable doing what we do, and he had to step out of his comfort zone, cross the aisle, or cross the field in this case. And he began, and he just struck up a conversation, and they would just, you know, as they picked up, he did this every week after a while. He'd go and help pick up the balls and pick up the pylons. And one day he felt, as he was walking across the aisle or the playing field, he felt Holy Spirit say, ask him to come to a service. He's like, hey, you know, this is the moment. So he's like, hey, you know, we have a special service coming up. Would you want to come to our church? I'm a pastor. He's like, I knew it. I knew it. I knew you were a pastor. He says, you go to that church where you tie up all the traffic. He says, I hate that. I hate when you guys tie up all the traffic. And I knew that this day would come. You would want me to come to your church. And that's all you cared about. He's like, well, that didn't go well. Holy Spirit, what you told me to go and ask. He doesn't get it. He honestly walks away like, why did you want me to ask? Like, I don't get it. Because he really wanted to be careful about it. So the season ends. Time goes on. You know, they lose contact. There's really no relationship outside of cleaning up. And he says, all of a sudden, he gets a phone call at his office one day, and it's Brian. And Brian's life has just blown up. Brian needs to talk with someone. So Brian comes in, and they talk, and throughout the weeks, they have coffee, and they talk. And he says, I don't really feel like it's going anywhere. I feel like I'm just hitting this roadblock constantly. He's like, so I do what I feel I'm called to do. It doesn't go anywhere, and Brian stops coming. I think he asks him to come to a service, and he leaves it at that. Several months later, there is a baptismal service or a baptismal meeting. I don't even think it was a service because he's basically getting the ones that are going to get baptized. He's getting them ready as a pastor to get baptized. As he's talking, it's a rather large church by the sounds of it. He looks over and he sees Brian there. And he's like, oh my goodness, Brian snuck into the wrong service. If he's going to be at a service, this is the wrong one. Like this is going to turn him off. It's going to be... And he's all worried and he finishes up and he goes over to Brian as they're going out to the car. He's like, Brian, what are you doing here? He's like, well, I got to tell you something. He said, a couple weeks back, I snuck into a service and you were preaching. He says, that day I gave my life to the Lord. And he says, I'm here. I want to get water baptized. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's the cool thing. 15 years later, he's walking the pastor with his son, Todd, who's obviously all grown up now. And they walk around a corner, and here's this big man now, because he's worked out, and his name is Brian. And Brian's like, oh my gosh, Todd, I remember coaching you soccer. Brian's actually now on staff at a church. Like, we don't know the part that we play. We don't know the part. One more story, because this is the same pastor. The same pastor who had a boating group of friends. And he was praying for this sailor, if you understand what I'm saying. He was a sailor that had all the attributes of a sailor. Dorma would know what I'm talking about, potty mouth and all that. And he's like, he loved the guy, though. He just loved the guy. The guy was just a really fun guy. But he's like, man, he said several times we would be after a sailing regatta, and he would have to, like, carry him home from the alcohol that he had. And he just, for 3 years, he's loving on him and talking to him, and they'd have these deep conversations. He would never get to the point of giving his life to the Lord. But they got a relationship to the point where he's like, hey, I can't do this. Would you mind taking some of the congregation out on a boat one day? He's like, oh, I'd love to do that. Talk about a setup. So they're out. I think it was like a day or a two-day thing. And at one point, one of the gentlemen in his church, not a member of the staff or anything like that, just walks over and he's like, I'm going to take a risk. He's like, so I hear that pastor's been kind of talking to you, and he's like, oh, yeah, we've had some great conversations and deep things. And I said, what's stopping you from giving your life to the Lord? Kind of like what happened with Claude. He's like, not really anything, I suppose. He's like, do you want to do it now? I think I do. He gives his life to the Lord right there. He calls his pastor friend. He's like, you'll never believe it. He's like, oh, my gosh, you crashed the boat. People are dying. He's like, no, I got saved. He's like, what? What? He said, I prayed for you for 3 years. Why didn't I get to do it? So every time he's in the congregation with this gentleman that led his friend to the Lord, he walks by and he goes, not fair. He just wanted to be the one. But in the end, he's thankful, right? It doesn't matter who does it. But the point is this. We get to be a part of an amazing journey. You know, I don't have time, but you know the scripture of the sower and the seed. We know that we can sow, and sometimes it falls on hard ground. Sometimes it's picked up by birds. Sometimes it's scorched by the sun. But the point of the story is, but some fell on good ground. We can get caught up in all the other things, you know, the 6 months or the 3 years or the, but some soil or some seed fell on good ground. And if we always get discouraged by the unction of the Holy Spirit, you know, like this moment when the pastor was there and the guy's like, I knew it. I knew you were going to do this. We get, you know, discouraged and we back away. But if look at the end of that story, he's saved on staff at another church because he crossed the aisle of a soccer field and just made himself available. And so often I think as Christians, I don't know as much at our church, but sometimes we feel like we got to seal the deal. We got to be the ones that bring them to salvation. We got to learn to go, Holy Spirit, what's our part? What's my part? Another gentleman quickly went in. He sat in his car and he said, Lord, use me today. I'm going in to get my hair cut. Use me. And he literally sat for 5 minutes. Ah, use me, Lord, use me. He goes in to get his hair cut. He sits down and he says, I've never been to this lady, but the lady and the other lady have a rapid fire conversation the whole time he's there. He can't even get a word in edgewise. He gets up, pays, gives her a tip and walks out. He's like, what was that all about? His point was that sometimes you can see it clear as day, walk across the aisle. He says, other times you're like, I'm ready, Lord. And he's like, nope, not now. Because maybe those two weren't ready. We just got to be a part of what God's doing. When you're on the streets, Holy Spirit, which one do I talk to? When you go to work, which one do I pray with today? Anybody? Nobody? I'm available, though. I'm available. And that's the biggest thing. Lord, I'm available. So as we end this Impact series, if we could all begin to choose to cross the aisle more than we're already doing, because I think you guys are amazing. I love watching and all these stories. I'm like, wow, this is great. But as we do it more and more, cross the aisle in here, cross the aisle while we're having coffee, I believe we could change the world. And we don't know with that one person what could happen. Every person is important. But like Connie was saying, we don't know that one person could be the one that becomes the evangelist that saves all the people we were hoping would get saved. You realize that? Sometimes you want your family to get saved and this person gets saved and they save your family. You're like, I don't understand how that happened, but thank you, Jesus. Amen. So you ready to cross the aisle? Why don't you stand? Father God, I thank you that we are impactors. That we are mighty ones that are being forged to impact every sphere of influence that we're a part of. And God, I thank you that the stories are a lot simpler than we think. It may not be easy. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but they're not as difficult as we think. And even as different ones have shared and Stephen shared about the seed, Lord, I thank you that we are going to begin to be people that even have our eyes open to a whole nother level. Father God, we want to see and we want to feel your nudge, Holy Spirit, because we know that you are working in us. Even today, Holy Spirit, would you begin to show us maybe where we've been blinded or maybe we've said no to you, but we have to today say yes to you. Father God, we say yes. Begin to nudge us again. If anyone in here, Lord, stop the nudges. We just chose not to listen and maybe you got quiet for a season. Lord, we say nudge us again. And if you've been nudging us, keep nudging us, Father God. Because I thank you, like a Connie and like a Max and like different ones, that people, their salvations have been secured because of walking across the aisle. We say thank you. We thank you for every salvation. Lord, I pray that we would continue and we would become a people that walk across the aisle and that we'd see more fruit in this next season than we've ever seen before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.